How about it? Is the Holy Spirit welcome here?
Amen.
Is he welcome here?
Amen.
You know, as we were singing that this morning, as we were worshiping, just reminded that the Holy Spirit is a ministering spirit. That to soak in for just a second. If you have things in your life that need to be ministered to, the Holy Spirit, that's what the Holy Spirit is all about. Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. And so the Spirit of God, that he wants good things for us. He's not something to be afraid of. He wants good things for us. I'm glad that you have chosen to spend your Sunday morning worshiping with us. If you are a visitor this morning, there's a blue card in the pocket in front of you. Would love for you to register with us. I want you to know we're glad that you're here. We're glad that you have come and spent your Sunday morning with us. This is a church family. I know that's a cliche, but this really is a church family. And we laugh together, we cry together, we eat together, and we cry together, and we eat together, and, you know, all the stuff that families do. In fact, speaking of eating, Gary, where are you at, Gary? Gary Gamotes wanted me to remind you, if you're part of the Living Last Supper play that will be happening the Wednesday and the Friday before Easter, there's a lunch for y'all that are going to start talking about and getting prepared for that and planned for that. How many of you came to that last year? It was really good, wasn't it? And they're going to do that again two times this year, so you can start anticipating that. If you will turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And this is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi, picking it up in verse 1. Paul says these words, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with his Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Well, wouldn't this be a better place, or a better world we lived in if we lived by Philippians 2? Each of you should not look only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Did you know that the name of Jesus is above every name? That the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have sang it, but we say it again. You are welcome here. Test our hearts, O God. So come, Holy Spirit, and speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got the second installment of the sermon series, The Upside Down Kingdom. You know, with God, everything is flipped upside down. We'll talk more about that. But today, the humble will be exalted. The humble will be exalted. Now, I was thinking about how I could lead into this topic of humility. About 10 years ago, right here in this pulpit, I told a joke. My wife's going, please don't do it. Don't do it. I told a joke about 10 years ago. And when I finished it, I had one person laughing. It was my daughter, Kirby. It was like stunned silence by the rest of the congregation. And I had to point out that I had just completed the punchline. So then everybody laughed. So I thought, well, this is a sophisticated joke. And so I practiced my delivery, and then the next week I told it again. And I got a few mercy laughs, okay? A few mercy laughs. Well, back by popular demand, the joke that keeps on giving. Oh, the topic is humility. It fits. I promise it fits. Okay, so there was a pastor and he was practicing his humility. Now y'all, only the smart ones are going to... Now I'm going to make all of you laugh. Only the smart ones are going to get this, okay? David Gist, forget it. You can just forget it. Donna will explain it to you later. So the pastor comes in and he's practicing his humility and he's trying to be as humble as he can, and he throws himself in on the altar. He goes to the sanctuary, throws himself on the altar, and he says, "I'm nothing, Lord, I'm nothing." Well, the associate pastor walks by and hears the pastor doing this. And not to be outdone by the pastor, he's trying to follow in his footsteps. So the associate pastor comes in beside the pastor and throws himself on the altar, and he begins to wail, "I'm nothing, Lord, I'm nothing." Well, the youth pastor, just happened to be their name was Jared, by the way, anyway. The youth pastor comes by and says, "Well, I can't let them do it. I'm trying to be just like them." So he goes in and throws himself on the altar beside them, and he begins to wail, "I'm nothing, Lord, I'm nothing." The associate pastor looks at him, nudges the pastor, and says, "Look, he thinks he's nothing." It's a sophisticated joke, I'm telling you. Some of y'all be eating lunch at 1:30, and you'll be going, "Oh, look at that." You see, this is what's sad when I have to explain my jokes. You see, the associate pastor was not being humble because he was being arrogant. Okay, never mind. It's not the delivery. It needs better material. Okay. All right. I'll work on it. Well, it took 10 years for that one to come back, and Cheryl, I think I'm going to retire it. What do you think? Yeah. Now, please, hold your applause. Golly, this is brutal. Y'all, I'm telling you, some of y'all are going to get that this afternoon. You're going to wake up from your nap, and you're going to get that. All right, humility. So let's talk a little bit about humility. You know, there's one of the greatest hymns. Everybody loves, I think, Amazing Grace. Don't you love Amazing Grace? A man named John Newton wrote that song, and John Newton was a horrible, sinful man. He had, prior to writing this song, he was actually a slave ship captain and had oversaw the trade of slavery and was just horrible atrocities done. The Lord got a hold of him and changed his heart, and he went on to become a pastor. He wrote that great hymn, and he died at 82. The last few months of his life, a friend was visiting him. His health was failing. His eyesight was virtually gone, and he was barely audible as this friend was trying to listen to him on his deathbed speak. And he heard these words, and he penned them in his journal. And here's what John Newton said: "Although my memory's fading, I remember two things very clearly. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior." Do you hear the humility in that statement? I am a great sinner and Christ is a great Savior. That's the heart of the Christian walk, when we have that kind of a heart. And he had 82 years for God to be molding his heart where he could make a statement like that on his deathbed. So let's look at this scripture today. In God's upside down kingdom, number one, the humble please God. The humble please God. If you want God to be to find you favorable, if you now God loves everyone, but God is pleased by a humble heart. 1 Peter. Now this has come from the Apostle Peter, the same guy who denied that he even knew Jesus, and who was later restored and was went on to be a great leader in the first church. 1 Peter 5 says this: all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud, he gives grace to the humble. So I want to talk a second about that word pride. I want to make sure that we're clear on that. This is not, God doesn't oppose it when we have pride in good things. For instance, if you're proud of your children because they tried. If you're proud of, I'm proud of my family. I'm proud of my mom and dad who raised me right. And it's not an arrogant pride, like thinking that they're better than someone else. But it's a pride that's just, I just feel affection towards my family. That's not what we're talking about, that God does not oppose that. He does not oppose pride when we work hard and we feel good at the end of the day because we put in a good hard day's work and we're proud of the job we've done that hopefully honored God. That's not the kind of pride that God opposes. God opposes this arrogant, self-centered pride. When the world, everything we think points to us. And as I've said before, what comes natural and instinctive to us as people is self-centeredness, doesn't it? I mean, that's easy. Self-centeredness is easy. It comes very naturally to us. But when we are selfless, that takes effort. It takes intentionality. It takes having the right sort of heart. So this difference between pride and humility, this contrast, Peter says that God opposes that sort of pride, this arrogant, self-centered pride, and he gives grace to the humble. He's pleased with a humble heart. The most dramatic example I can think of in the scripture is the two thieves on the cross. You know, Jesus and these two thieves, that they deserved the punishment that they were getting. Jesus he went to the cross without offense. And one thief has this arrogant heart, this prideful heart that begins to taunt Jesus. If you're really the Son of God, why don't you command that we come down from the cross? And so he's speaking in these arrogant, self-centered tones. The other thief speaks with the heart of repentance and the heart of compassion and the heart of humility. And he begins to ask Jesus. He begins to scold the other thief for the way he's talking. Then he begins to ask Jesus to be remembered in his kingdom. That is this perfect example of pride versus humility. Secondly, in God's upside down kingdom, Jesus embodies humility. You want to know how to love? Look at Jesus. You want to know how to have a humble heart? Look at Jesus. Listen, let's look at this scripture a little bit closer today. Verse 6 from Philippians 2 today says this: Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So what that verse is saying is that Jesus was God. He was on the same level as God, and he had every right to be worshipped as God. But verse 7 says, but even though he had this status where he was equal with God and had the right to be put on the same plane as God, it says instead, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. So Jesus should have been exalted, but instead Jesus gave up that position of exaltation. He surrendered that position. He gave himself over in humility to die for us. And you want to know how to live the Christian life? Boom. Just open the Word. We, no matter what we think we deserve, no matter what status we think we may have attained, Jesus is saying, No, humble yourself. Humble yourself. No matter what status you think you should have, humble yourself. Third thing, in God's upside down kingdom, we are called to follow Christ's examples. So his example. So Christ has shown us the way, and then what Paul in Philippians is saying is, look at Christ. See how he behaved. See how he conducted himself. Now do that. Do that. Let's look at verse 5. Your attitude, each of us, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. We've already seen what Jesus did, how he behaved. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. Verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Is anybody else feeling convicted by this passage but me? I mean, how many of us go through our lives and where it's just right on the forefront of our thinking is that we're not going to do anything out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility we're going to consider other people better than ourselves. I mean, as I said earlier, if we lived our life like that, this world would be an incredible place. And I got to say this, if the church, not just Wiley Methodist Church, but the church, if we conducted ourselves as Christians, as the church like this, we would be packing people in to the church and throughout the world. But too many times we are, and I've shared this with people that have been disgruntled with the church and have been out of the church maybe for decades because of maybe some arrogance or somehow they felt like they were mistreated by the church or a pastor or whatever. It's like, if we conducted ourselves like Christ as the church, people would be beating our doors in to try to get into our buildings and try to get more of that. But instead, so many times, we are more interested in telling people the rules, don't we? Do this, don't do that. We've somehow, being good has replaced the message of the gospel. The gospel is that we aren't good and that Jesus died to save us. That's the gospel. And if we would somehow, we're communicating that to a broken world that, hey, you know what? You're messed up, so am I. That's why Jesus came. If that was our heart, that was our message, I just really believe that it would transform our world. Verse 2 says, being like-minded with Christ, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. So the same love, and I tell this a lot of times when I'm doing premarital counseling with husbands, it says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And that's here we're being told, your attitude should be the same as Jesus. You should have the same love that he had. His love is a sacrificial love. His love is a humbling love. His love is not an arrogant love. That's like, look at me, I'm the King of Kings and bow down and worship. No, he came in humility and gave himself up for his bride, you and I, the church. We are called to be like Jesus. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, church. Mine should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And what I tell premarital husbands is the goal, you know, is not necessarily perfection because we can't do that perfectly, but the goal is intentionality and consistency. To do it intentionally, to try to love as Christ loved the church, to try and set that as our goal and to do it consistently. We are called, church, to follow Christ's example. Fourth thing, in God's upside-down kingdom, humility results in exaltation. I love this. Now, in verse 9 of the passage today, what's verse 9? What's the word it starts out with? Therefore, what do you do when you see the word therefore? You go back. If you're new to the church, this is almost as bad as my jokes. But if you see the word therefore in Scripture, go back and read a few verses or maybe the rest of that chapter before that to see what that word is there for. Because when they say therefore, they're saying, if this is going on, therefore this happens. You understand what I'm saying? Shake your head if you're still awake. Shake your head. All right, so it says this in verse 9. And we've just set the tone. Jesus, who being in very nature God, he laid himself down and became humble to death for our sake. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. So do you see that when we are humbling ourselves, God will be the one who exalts, not you and I. And I tell you, I don't know what it is about us as people. I struggle with it. We just want to get credit, don't we? Am I the only one? I know there's some of you others there. We don't like it when somebody else gets credit. Goofy show. I'm certainly not recommending. King of Queens. Anybody watch King of Queens? Cheryl and I like to watch those old reruns. And Doug and Carrie, the characters in this show, we're doing their taxes, and last night we were watching this, doing their taxes, and a tax guy was like, okay, show me all your charitable contributions. And they were like, and they had $35 for the year. And so they were embarrassed by that. So they said, hey, we're going to give $500 to this little friend of theirs. A little boy was doing a library remodel. We're going to give $500. And they were so excited about this because that was going to put them on such and such level of giving. And they were going to be on this big plaque in the library and everything. And they got there, and they unveiled the plaque, and they're looking up here in this category that their $500 should have put them in, and their name wasn't there. And they looked and looked and looked, and they found their name down in the $50 category, down at the bottom with about 1,000 other people. And they both looked at each other, and they're like, they wanted credit. They wanted credit. They wanted people to know, we've given $500 to restore the library. We're good people. They didn't want to be down there in the $50 category. Anybody else pulling their toes back about now? And I'll say this. When Billy, he's out sick today. Y'all pray for Billy. When Billy came on staff here, let me back up. When I became pastor here, where's Pat? Is Pat here? Hi, Pat. Pat and I were your staff 13 and a half years ago. Pat was great, and I was, we were it. And so if anything good happened, Pat, we could go, look at us. I know Pat never did that, but I could say, wow, look, man, we got 20 new members, whatever. And or we've built this house, or we've painted this house, or whatever. And just laying it out there, just being real with you, there's something about that feels good. Feels good. Now, also, the downside to that is things go bad. You also get the blame. But when Billy came on staff, I gave him a lot of the stuff that I'd been doing. He says I gave him everything I didn't want to do, and there may be some truth to that. But I gave Billy a lot of responsibility because Billy's a gifted man. And he's got areas where he's very gifted, and there are different areas than me, and so that works out really well. But I remember the first few months, it was like that I was, first of all, I had trouble letting go of it, some of it. Like, well, we kind of tugged a little bit, but I finally let go. And when things would go well, and it was the areas Billy was handling, in my mind I'm thinking, wait a minute, I used to do that. Is this still on? Y'all are even quieter than after the joke. Now, wait a minute. I used to do that. How come everybody's bragging on Billy? I'm just being real with you, church. We struggle with that. We struggle with that. God is the God who takes humility and exalts. But we want to exalt ourselves. We want everybody to see what we have done. Because of who Jesus was, because of him obediently humbling himself and going to the cross, therefore God exalted him. Now here's the deal. If we're in Christ, and that's how it worked with Christ, don't you think that's the way it's going to work with us? There will be a day that we will have a reckoning with God, and for good and bad, we'll stand face to face and account for it. But God is the exalter, not us. Jesus says, I'm going to close on this parable. Jesus says this whole, he puts it all in perspective in Luke chapter 18. He tells this parable. And remember, he's constantly telling parables that's illustrating how the kingdom of God works. So here's what he says in Luke 18. To some who were confident of their own righteousness, there we go. If we were in the crowd, would he have been talking to us? To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. My son-in-law is a tax collector now. So you got to love him. Jesus said so. I love you just because you're Ryan, but they got to love you because they're... The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. Thank God that I'm not like the other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this horrible tax collector. Sorry, Ryan. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. My name's on the plaque, is what he's saying. But the tax collector, see, everybody saw him as the sinner. Stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. God's kingdom is upside down. It doesn't work the way the world works. God's turned everything on its head. Let's bow our heads, if you would. Father, we ask you to teach us. Father, our natural instinct is to want to be exalted. Skip the humility part. We just want to be exalted. Teach us how to be like Jesus. We want to please you. We want our hearts to please you. Father, if our name isn't on the plaque at all, that's okay. If we don't get the credit, that's okay. May you be lifted up. Father, this is not possible without the power of your Holy Spirit in us. So that's what we pray, that you would magnify yourself in us. You would, Father, do what you have to do with us to humble our hearts. We love you, God, and we need you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our praise team will come up. If you want to pray at the altar as we close, if you want to come and visit with me about Jesus, about having Jesus as your Lord and Savior, about our church, anything at all, I will be here through the song and after the service. Let's stand as we close.
How great is your faithfulness that you have shown to me. Your faithful presence never leaves. Your mercy is new each day. Never give up on me, reaching your hand out to rescue me. Faithful God. Your love is my song and I will sing. Faithful God to be. Faithful God, my rescue life is my gift to you. Faithful God to me.
Humbled himself, became obedient to death. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, to the glory of God the Father. Be humble. Go and tell someone in Jesus' name. We're dismissed. God bless you.
Faithful God, your love is my song and I will sing. Faithful God to me. Faithful God, my rescue life is gift to you, faithful God, to me.
You are faithful.
You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are.